Well, I'm stoked to be here. Anybody else stoked to be here tonight in God's house together? Come on, let's go. So good. Well, for those of you who may be like, who's this chick up on the stage? I've never seen her before. My name is Jessie. I am the young adults pastor at Bears Paw Campus. Come on. Bears Paw Campus, let's hear it. Where are you guys? Yeah. Okay. Bears Paw, represent. Let's go. But I'm super excited to share the word with you guys tonight. When Pastor Lawrence and the team approached me about sharing tonight and told me that the theme of the night was passions versus purpose, I really felt like in my heart I couldn't say no. I was just so excited for this topic because it resonates so deeply in my story and what Jesus has done in my life. And so I couldn't say no to the opportunity to share with you guys just some things that God has taught me in my life and in my relationship with him. So I'm very excited to share with you guys tonight. So why don't we bow our heads and pray and just ready our hearts to receive what God wants to say to us tonight. So Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you are here in this place. God, we thank you that Holy Spirit, you are ready and willing to speak to each and every single one of us tonight, Lord God, and you have something that you want to bring to each of us personally, whether that's planting a new seed, watering a seed that has already been planted, Lord God, or bringing some fresh growth in our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will just come and just invade each of our lives tonight and do what only you can do, and may we leave this place knowing you a little bit more than we did when we came here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, guys, let's get into it. Like I said, I'm talking about passion versus purpose. So I felt like it was the best thing that I could do to start our night off with defining these two words, passion and purpose, and what do they mean, so that we can all be on the same page tonight while we study God's word together. So here we go. Passion, when we look at the dictionary and we see what that word is defined as, it says this: it is something that you like to do. It's something that you desire to do, and you actually want to devote your time and energy to doing that thing. Okay, you guys with me? So it's something that you like and you want to do. Easy peasy. So some things that I was passionate about, and I've been passionate about in my life. When I was a teenager, I was passionate about surfing. I think I have a picture coming up here. There I am. Oops, where'd I go? There I am. Guys, that's me. I was 16, my first time on a wake surf board thing behind a boat. And I literally thought, you can see in my Instagram tag, I literally thought I was going to be a pro surfer in this moment. I was like, I am Bethany Hamilton, a Christian surfer. Even though I live in the middle of Alberta, small town, middle of the prairies, that doesn't matter. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get my big break one day. I'm going to surf on the beach in Hawaii, and it's going to be amazing. So I love surfing. I used to watch surfing competitions. I used to do surfing-related workouts so I could prep myself for that big break. But I loved and was passionate about learning about surfing and getting opportunities like this to go surf on a lake. Even though it's not the ocean, it's good enough. Close as we can get in Alberta, right? Yeah, okay. So another thing I've been passionate about in my day is rock climbing. For a few years, I was super into rock climbing. There I am, really high up. Guys, low-key, every single time I'm actually terrified. So I used to be passionate about it, but not anymore. It's too scary. The risks are too high, but I used to love rock climbing for a few years. But another thing I've been passionate about and love to do is mountain biking. Any mountain bikers with me tonight? Anybody? Okay, a few. Okay, come on. There's me and my dad. He's here, second row. Hi, Dad. So good. But we would go mountain biking together. My dad was the one who ignited the passion in me to go mountain biking in my early 20s. And just love it. I love that feeling of going up a mountain and using your two legs, and you get up to the top and you're like, dang, I just did that. I crushed that thing. And then you get the 5-minute downhill that it took you an hour to go up. But it's super fun. So that's another thing that I've been passionate about in my day. But some of your passions might be art. You might love and enjoy to do art and you want to devote your time to it. It might be sports like soccer and basketball. Or you might love and enjoy studying and you love to do school. Or music. So your passion is anything and whatever that you do that you enjoy doing and you want to devote your time to it and you look forward to the times that you get to do it, okay? So that's your passion. You guys with me so far? Yeah? Okay, amazing. And then purpose. What is our purpose? Our purpose is the reason for which something is done or created. Okay? It is the reason why you exist. So do you guys see the difference between passion and purpose? Passion is something that you enjoy to do, but your purpose is why you are here. It is the reason that you exist today, and it is the reason that your heart is beating, and you're sitting in these seats today, and you have the life that you have. And I just want to make a quick note here that passions are good, okay, before we go forward. Passions are from God, and we are created to enjoy life. You know, God delights in things that we get to do, that we enjoy, and we love doing those things. Okay, so that's just a quick note. But the problem that we can run into is when we let our passions become our purpose. Okay, we can run into a problem when we let the things that we enjoy become the reason that we exist or the reason that we live our lives. And then when we let our passions become our purpose, we actually end up living a life that is built on performance, built on possession, and also built on popularity. Okay, so when we let our passion become our purpose, we live a life built on our performance, our possessions, and popularity. Hey, and I found those things in a book, if you guys want to look it up later. It's a book by Peter Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. So let's dive into it a little bit. What does a life built on performance look like? Well, it's a life that says, I am what I do. Okay, so we can be passionate about things, like I said, like sports or art or studying, fixing cars, whatever it is that you enjoy doing. But if we're not careful, we can end up living for the things that we do. Okay, we can end up living for our jobs or our school or our sports. Okay, and we've let those things become the reason that we exist. So that's what a life built on performance looks like. I am what I do. Okay, the second thing is a life built on possessions. It's a life that says, I am what I have. Okay, and so we can be passionate about things. Like I really admire one of our young adults. She's so passionate about fashion and she always comes in with the coolest things. And I admire that. I think that's amazing. And we can become passionate about video games, the clothes we wear. Or when you're older, it can be about getting the degree, graduating college and having that piece of paper that says that you made it, getting houses or the fancy cars. Or for me, I love interior design. And there have been one too many times where I've ended up in HomeSense, grabbing a few too many pillows because I love having a house that looks nice. That's one of my passions. I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy doing DIY projects that I start, but then I end up handing off to my wonderful husband because I'm too distracted. I can move on to other things. So he finishes them for me, okay? So if we're not careful, though, even though it's good to enjoy having things like fashion or video games or, for my sake, throw pillows, so it can be good to love those things, but if we're not careful, we can end up living for what we have, okay, for our earthly possessions, and then it leads us into this cycle of wanting more, and we want to have more, and a cycle of consumption, where we're never satisfied or grateful for what we do have, but we're always wanting the next greatest thing that comes out. Chasing trends or getting the new console, whatever that looks like. Okay, so that's the second one. We can live a life built on possessions that says, I am what I have. The third thing is we can live a life built on popularity, which is a life that says, I am what other people think of me. Okay, so we can enjoy and be passionate about people. We can love having friends. I love having friends. Anybody here love having friends? Yeah, come on. Friends are good, guys. But the tricky thing is that we can end up living for those around us instead of just enjoying those around us. And when we begin to live for the people around us, that's when peer pressure becomes real, right? That's when we strive for people's approval and acceptance of us, and we become a people pleaser, right? You become a slave to people's opinions or their praise of you, and you live for their approval, right? You want to be accepted by anyone and everyone who will accept you, and you'll be willing to change who you are. And I'm going to be honest, this can be something that is so easy to fall into when you're dating somebody or engaged or married. You know, you can start living your life for that person, right? Because you love them and you enjoy them so much, but your reason for existence can become so intertwined with that other person. And then you look for them for your confidence or your source of approval. Okay, so that's the danger when we allow our passion to become our purpose. And I want to let you guys hear me out again. Our passions are good. They are from God, but we can get derailed from our true purpose and our true identity when we make our passions our purpose. When we make what we do, what we have, or what other people think of us the reason that we live our lives, and we make those things the reason that we exist. So I'm going to share with you guys a part of my story where I really relate to this. So when I graduated high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. No hot clue. I just went to Ambrose University, started in youth ministry, switched to intercultural studies my first week into school, changed schools. By the time I did my third year of college, I was in 3 different degrees, 2 different colleges, and had no clue what I was going to do or what my purpose was. And so when I was going into my 4th year of college, I hit a point where I had no idea what my purpose was. I tried doing all of these things that I thought I liked and I thought I could enjoy, okay, but they weren't really resonating with like my thing, you know, like the thing that you feel like I was made for, and it resonates deeply with you. So I was going into my 4th year of college, and I had the opportunity to be the assistant dean of women at that college. And then going into my 4th year, I was going to go into a 4th degree because, you know, sticking with one isn't fun enough for me. I had to do 4 different degrees in 4 years. So I was going to change degrees into an outdoor leadership degree that was all about rock climbing, hiking, camping, because I'd become passionate about those things. I enjoyed doing those things, and I loved leadership development. So I thought, man, if that's what I enjoy, why not try it out? You know, 4th year, 4th degree. But as I was praying and I was kind of doing the math, I realized that if I went back to school for that 4th year, I wouldn't have enough credits and any degree to graduate. And then I wouldn't have enough money at the end of that 4th year to keep going with schooling so that I could graduate. So I got myself in a little bit of a pickle. And so I started praying and I asked God, God, what is my purpose? What's the point of my life? What am I supposed to do next year if I can't graduate, if I don't have the credits or the money to graduate? What am I gonna do? And as I was praying, and I felt like God was calling me to do not a thing that I would necessarily suggest, but he told me to drop out of school and to move back home with my parents and to get out of the textbooks for a little while and just focus on my real life relationship with Jesus. And when I felt like he was telling me this, I got really frustrated and I felt really lost because I had no direction for my life. I felt like God had forgotten to enlighten me on what my purpose was. You know, I was looking at my friends and they knew their thing. You know, they knew if they were supposed to be in youth ministry or going to counseling or going to teaching, and they started that degree and they finished that degree, and I was frustrated. God, what about me? Why do I feel like I have no clarity as to why you put me on this earth? Why do I feel like I'm just taking a shot in the dark all the time? And so I asked him questions like, who was I going to be if I wasn't doing school or if I wasn't going to do that leadership opportunity I had? Who was I going to be? What was I going to do? God, how would I be able to do anything meaningful if I didn't get that college degree? If I didn't have that piece of paper that said I graduated, how would I be able to get a job or work or do something with my life? God, what would people think of me if I went from a strong and dependable leader in college to becoming a college dropout? Who was I going to be? And so my frustration and insecurity about what God was calling me to do, to drop out of school, showed me that I had actually made passions my purpose. Okay, I was building my life on performance, what I could do. I was building my life on possessions, having that college degree, that piece of paper. I was building my life on my popularity and what other people thought of me, and their approval, and their acceptance. So I was making doing something, having something, and people's opinion of me my purpose. And these were the things that I chose in those years to build my identity on, okay, and my value on. They were the reason why I was doing what I was doing every day, the reason why I lived my life. These things, possessions, performance, and popularity had become my driving force, you know, the reason why I thought I had existed. And as I prayed and I sought the Lord in that moment and I was wrestling with these feelings, realizing that I had made my passions my purpose, God put this question on my heart. He said, "Am I not enough for you? Is knowing me and having a relationship with me not enough for you? Am I not enough for you?" And when God asked me that question, here's what I realized was I was made for more than what I did. I was made for more than what I had. I was made for more than what other people thought of me. And so here's our big lesson for tonight is that our purpose is more than our passions. Okay, the reason why we are here goes beyond our performance, our possessions, and our popularity. Okay, you are made for more than the earthly passions and pleasures, and it goes beyond, like I said, performance, possessions, and popularity. Though all these things may be good, okay, it's good to do something with your life. It is good to have nice things. It is good to have friends, you know, and to want people to value you. Those are okay. But when we make these things our purpose and when they make us feel good and we put them in that place in our life, we have to realize is they will always leave us empty. They will always leave us wanting more and feeling insecure in who you are and why you are here. And the book of Ecclesiastes actually talks about this. If you guys aren't familiar, the book of Ecclesiastes is written by King Solomon way back a long time ago, okay, who explored all that the world had to offer. Okay, so King Solomon, without boundaries, he chased after money, he chased after fame, he chased after relationships. If you can name it, he did it, and he sought after it, and he tried everything that the world around him told him was the purpose for life, the reason why we are here, okay? By doing something of significance or having every possession he could think of or having fame and influence, he sought those things. But after experiencing everything that the world had to offer with no restraints, here's what Solomon had to say about it. If you have your Bibles, we're going to open to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. And this is what he says. "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher, or King Solomon. "It is utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." And then in verse 14, he says, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." And so this word meaningless means a bit more. It has a picture to it that we don't necessarily see in the English language. In the Hebrew, it is the word havel. Can you guys say havel? Okay, awesome. Okay, so in the Hebrew, this word havel conveys this image of trying to catch smoke or vapor. So we're gonna try that tonight. I'm gonna ask somebody to come on stage, and they don't know that I've asked them to come on stage. This is gonna be fun. My friend Alex, can you come on stage with me for a second? Yeah, here he comes. Give him a hand, guys, give him a hand. Come on. So good. So good, okay. So Alex, here's what we're gonna do. Your job is simple. I'm gonna light this match, blow it out. Don't do anything while it's lit on fire, okay? That's important, important part. Okay, I'm gonna blow it out, and then your job is just to catch the smoke that's there. Okay? Sound easy enough? Yeah? Okay, here we go. Can't wait. Nice, did you catch anything? Okay, let's try again. I think you've got it this time. Do you guys think he's got it this time? I think he's got it this time. Let's go, let's check. Alex. Let's see, did you catch any?
Yeah, I got it all.
You got it all?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Did you?
Under your shirt?
Yeah?
I let it out after.
You let it out after, it's gone now.
It's gone.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thanks, Alex. So good. Yeah, give him a hand, guys. Okay, so here we see, just like Alex tried, you know, he tried to catch the smoke, right, with his hands under his shirt, but then he couldn't actually catch it, right? Like if I were to light this again, ooh, that was a little close, okay? And then it'll disappear, right? The smoke is here one moment, and then it's gone the next. Okay, so we can't really fully grasp and obtain it and have a firm grip on the smoke, right? And so that's what Solomon in this verse is trying to convey to us, okay, is that when we live our lives for our passions and all these worldly things that may be good, and we make these the reason that we exist and we live our lives, we'll never actually come to a place where we have a firm grasp on it. It'll be here one day, gone the next. Here one minute, gone the next moment. It can be here today, gone tomorrow. So you may be living the dream, doing what you've always wanted, and then bam, something happens, and you can't do that thing, right? Or you may have a group of friends, and these are your friends that you've done life with forever, and they're your besties, and you guys are like BFFLs, right? You're gonna best friends for life. That's what it means, right? Okay, best friends for life. Guys, it's been a while since I've been in middle school, okay? Best friends for life, okay? And then one day something shifts, right? And the people that you had as your closest friends, the next day, they turn their backs on you. And the people that you had built your lives on and you thought you had a firm grasp on are gone. And so that is what living a life built on our earthly passions will lead us to. When we live a life built on performance, possessions, or popularity, it is a life built on really worldly passions. It's just all meaningless. A chasing after the wind. We'll never have a firm grasp on those things, no matter how hard we try. And so if all these things are meaningless, then you could be here asking the question, what is the point in life? Right? Why are we here then? If it's not to do the thing, to have the thing, or to be approved by the people around us, what is the purpose of life? What is my purpose? And there's another verse in Ecclesiastes that answers this question for us. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. I'm reading in the Amplified Version, and this is what it says. He, being God, has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except for God. Yet man cannot find out or comprehend or grasp what God has done, his overall plan from beginning to the end. So here we see in this verse that it says that God has planted eternity, this sense of divine purpose in the human heart. Okay, it's a mysterious longing which nothing on this earth can satisfy except for God. So if you're sitting here tonight, that means that you are made for more than what this world has to offer. Okay, you are made for more than what you can do. You are made for more than what you can have. You are made for more than the people around you. You are made for eternal life. You are made for more, for something more that goes beyond the here and now. And so what is this eternal life then? What is this eternal thing, this eternal longing that God has placed in each of our hearts, and where can I find it? We're going to turn to John chapter 17. This is what it says. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him all authority over all people so that he might give eternal life to all those you've given to him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life. This is the thing that we are all made for, that goes beyond the here and now, beyond the worldly passions, what we can do, have, or the people around us. It is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. that word know in the Greek, it's an important word to pull out of the text because it goes beyond maybe what we think it says. You know, when we think of knowing something, you know it in your head, right? It's an idea that you know, but this Greek word for know goes beyond our heads and it goes into our hearts. It actually means to be familiar with someone, to learn about them and who they are through personal experience. So to know God is more than knowing the idea or concept that God is alive or God is real in our minds, but knowing God actually has to pass from our heads to our hearts. It's to know him as a person and in personal relationship with him. Okay, so you are made to experience the person and presence of God and to have a personal relationship with him. The reason why each and every single one of you were born on the whatever your day your birthday is, whatever year you were born in, the reason why you are living this life that you have right now and are sitting in these chairs is to have a personal relationship with the God who created you. And this isn't just a surface level type of relationship where you can check in and check out. This is a relationship that's actually supposed to be a part of our all day, every day. It's a relationship where we are actually part of God's family. We are his sons and daughters. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." Catch that, before the creation of the world. If you are sitting here today, and if any person on this earth who has breath in their lungs and a heart in their chest, God made them before he made the world to have a relationship with him. So before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Before God made the world, he wanted to make you to live on this earth. Not just to live on this earth, but to be adopted as his son, as his daughter. To have a personal relationship with him. Think about that for a moment. You know, we think that God's plan and purpose for us started the moment that we breathed our first breath. God's purpose for you started way before that. His purpose for you started an eternity long ago, to have a relationship with you so you could know him personally, not as some God who's far off, but as a father, as a friend. And how do we enter this type of relationship then with our Heavenly Father? Not just as people who have a relationship with their Creator, but as his sons and daughters who have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. It's through Jesus. We see that. We are to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father, can have a relationship with him, except through me." Jesus is the Son of God who was born of a virgin and lived this perfect earthly life with no sin. And he came, and his purpose for living in this on earth was to have a relationship with his Heavenly Father, but to also make it available to each and every single one of us by dying on the cross for our sins. To take the very thing, the ways that we choose ourselves that make us separated from God and far away from him and distant from him, Jesus died on the cross to wipe all of that away, to forgive us of our sins so that we could no longer be separated from our Father in heaven, but Jesus closed the gap by dying on the cross for us so that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And then he rose again. He defeated death and sin, and then he ascended into heaven. And now we have the hope that whoever believes in him can have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. We can have this eternal life that we were made for, right? God has sent eternity, the sense of divine purpose in your heart. and you can only experience that eternal life that you were made for, that divine purpose through Jesus, by believing in him, putting your full trust in him, making him Lord of your life. And so he did this. He died on the cross and rose again so that you, none of us here, have to live our lives on earth, and but also in eternity once we die without God. He did this so that we could know the God who made us and to live the life that we were made to live and experience our true purpose, which is to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to share this verse with you that when I was in my season of wondering what God's purpose for me and realizing that the only reason I'm here is to know God, to have a personal relationship with my Heavenly Father. That is the one thing in life that matters. And so when I kind of came to that realization, this verse touched my heart and made me understand how God sees me as his daughter in a brand new way. And it's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "This is my son whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased." And so I want to take a moment and acknowledge that this scripture is talking about Jesus, okay? The Heavenly Father, the moment that Jesus was baptized, the Heavenly Father opened the heavens and spoke from heaven and said, "This is Jesus, my son, with whom I am well pleased, and I love him." But here's the cool thing, is that because of Jesus, we know that this is how our Heavenly Father looks at each and every single one of us, right? Like we said before in Ephesians, it says that we were adopted as his sons. Okay, so the same way that God looked at his only son, the Father looked at his only son, is the same way that he looks at us because we are now adopted as sons and daughters. So because of Jesus, when your Heavenly Father looks at you, when he looks at me, this is what he says. "This is my son. This is my daughter. I love her. I love him. And I am so pleased with who she is. I am so pleased with who he is and who I've made him to be." Are you guys hearing that tonight? That when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you and frown on you and say, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I made that person. Oh my gosh, what a mess." No, because of Jesus and because of who he is, God looks at you and he says, "I love you. I'm so proud of you." And this isn't because of what you've done or what you have or what the people around you think of you. No, it's only because I've made you to be loved by me through Jesus. I've made you to know me and to have a relationship with me, and I love you and I am proud of you because of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And so I want to assure you today that this is your purpose. Okay, no matter what you do, no matter what you have, no matter what the people around you think of you, you are made today to be God's son. You are made today to be God's daughter, to have a personal relationship with him, so that you can experience this purpose every day, no matter what life circumstances throws your way, no matter if you reach the dream that you've always had since you were a kid, or one day that dream crashes and burns. You don't have to miss out on your purpose in life, because your purpose is to know your Heavenly Father and to have a relationship with him and to be loved by him. So like me, no matter what you do or whether you get the degree or not, you can have a relationship with God. And this relationship is your purpose. It is the very reason why you exist. And the cool thing is when we make this relationship with God our purpose, is that it can be our guide and our anchor through life, okay? Through the breakthroughs or the setbacks, through the highs and lows, this relationship with God will be how he leads you. Not only into what he wants you to do or what he has for you or the people he wants you to encourage, but it's also how he's gonna keep bringing you back to himself. And now our role that we get to have every day is just to know God and to invite people along the way. No matter what we have or what we're doing or the people around us, we just get to say, hey, you're made to have a relationship with God, and I'm going to invite you into the thing that I know is my purpose and I know is your purpose, to know God and to make him known. So our relationship with God needs to be the thing that drives us. It needs to be our purpose, the reason why we live our lives every day. And then what happens is what we do and what we have in our relationship with people will no longer become the things that we're striving for, but it'll just become the overflow of our relationship with God. What we do, what we have, and our relationships will become ways that we can grow in our relationship with God and will be things that we can use to invite others into their own relationship with their Heavenly Father and things that we can use to invite others to discover their relationship with God that they are made for. And so when we let God lead us in relationship with him, and we choose to make our relationship with him our purpose, the reason why we wake up and live every single day, the reason why we do what we do, we have what we have, and how we interact with those around us, here's a promise that I have for you that I've experienced in my life when I've chosen to make my relationship with God my one and only purpose. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is the Message version. It says, God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church, and glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. And here's how I know that that's true, is that moment when I was going from my third year into that fourth year of college. Can you guys guess what I did? I dropped out of college. That's what I did. I dropped out. I moved back in with my parents. Lord bless them. They let me back for free because I had no money. I dropped out of college and I pursued a personal relationship with Jesus, with my Heavenly Father, every single day. I made that the reason I woke up every morning. I made that the reason why I chose to do whatever I did. I made that the reason to have the little that I had. I made that the reason why I interacted and made friendships with those around me. And you know what happened? God led me on this amazing journey that brought me here today before you. Okay, I don't deserve to be up here. I really don't. But I've experienced such good things in my life and the experience I've had. I've married my amazing husband. I've been able to be a kids pastor, and I've been able to be a young adults pastor and to have relationship with people and to do incredible things, not because I can do those things or not because I set my mind to do those things and chose to live for those things, but I chose to live for God. And God alone, and he brought these opportunities into my life. I've never had an A, B, C, D, E plan. This is my 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan, and then retirement plan until the day I die. My plan is to know God, have a relationship with him that guides my every day, to be obedient to what he's calling me to do, to use the things that I have for his glory, and to love those around me so that they can know their Heavenly Father who loves them and invite people into a personal relationship with God. And so I want to make you promise tonight that if you choose to make knowing God, the God who made you, but is who is your Heavenly Father, your one and only purpose, it is going to lead you on a life that is so much more than you could ever guess or request or imagine in your wildest dreams. It's going to be more than the plan that you can plan for yourself. And it is going to be good. And it is going to be filled with things that only God can do. So we're going to go into a moment of prayer. Will you guys bow your heads with me? And there's just two groups of people that I want to invite up and pray for. Prayer team, you guys can come on up and come to the front. the first group of people I want to invite up just this moment to respond to whatever God's doing in your heart is the people who are like me in my story. The people who have had a relationship with God maybe for a while, but you've started to make your passions your purpose. You've started to live for what you can do, what you can have, or the people around you. And maybe tonight in this moment, you're realizing, oh, I've been striving and trying to make these things work, but you know, it's not satisfying me. I feel this emptiness inside. I feel like I'm doing the right things or having all the things that I could ever want. Or, you know, I've got a bunch of friends around me, but something is missing. And you need to come back to your relationship with God, back to putting Him first and making your purpose. So if that's you today and you have a relationship with Jesus already, but maybe you've decided to put those worldly things first and your passions first, and you want to kind of redirect and go back to your eternal purpose to know God and put your relationship with Him first again, I'm just going to invite you to come forward in the next few moments. You can find a prayer team member who's at the front and they will pray for you, or you can just find your own space and have a moment with God where you put Him first in your heart again. So you can feel free, if that's you tonight and you want to respond, you can feel free to come on up. The second group I want to pray for tonight is for those of you who are in this room who may not know Jesus yet. You know, you may have been going to the church thing, going to youth or young adults, or doing your thing for a while. And today you're like, no, I want a relationship with Jesus. You know, I've been living for worldly things. I've been putting what I do, what I have, or my friends around me first. But today I want to choose to put Jesus first. I want a relationship with my Heavenly Father through Jesus. And if that's you tonight and you want to make that decision for the first time, I'm going to invite you to come on up to the front and find one of our prayer team members, and they're going to pray for you. And I want to encourage you tonight that the only thing that you need to do to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father is just to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for you, who made a way for you to be a son and daughter of God. And then the only other thing that you need to do is to confess it out loud. Say it out loud to somebody. So if that's you tonight, then come on forward and just share that decision you want to make in your heart with one of our prayer team members. But I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna go into a few songs, and just feel free to take these next few songs as moments of reflection. And if at any point during these songs you wanna respond to what Jesus is putting on your heart, then come up to the front and receive prayer. Come up to the front and just have your own personal relation or moment with God and turning back to Him. So Lord Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You, Jesus, that You are the God who loved us so much, that You died for us so that we could have a way to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus, that we don't have to miss out on the thing that we were made for because of sin and death, God. But Jesus, You dealt with that. You moved that out of the way, and You made a way for us to experience the thing that we were made for. This eternal life, which is a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So Lord Jesus, I just pray over every single person in this place right now and whatever You're doing in their hearts, Lord God, from the people who may have been walking with You for 40 years and know all these things but have slipped back into living for their jobs or their earthly passions, Lord God, and You're calling them to come back to You, to come back to their true purpose in living in relationship with You and putting You first. Or Lord Jesus, if that's the people who haven't experienced a relationship with You yet, but You're saying tonight's the night. As long as it is called today, don't stop from responding to My call to you. If there's people in this room who are sensing that Holy Spirit, I pray that You will just come and invade their hearts, that they will take a step of faith and come forward and choose You in these next few moments. So Lord Jesus, I just pray, will You come and do what only You can do in this place tonight? And will You bring us back to our one and only purpose, which is to know our Heavenly Father and to be loved by You? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.